nature forever, because the tree of life was still there, and it was meant that they had eternal life. But God did not want his people to stay in a state of sin for the rest of their lives. So they booted him out so that he could continue the story of grace. And again, God says to his people, I have not given up on you. I will never give up on you. You can see this at Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai, Moses and the Israelites, it's ready time, covenant time. God is going to make a covenant, which means promise, means a contract. You know, as we sign for a house, and we know that as soon as we sign for the house, even if we back out, we have to pay. It's part of the covenant. And God is saying, make a covenant, which means there is no going back. I will pay for what I order. And he is saying, what I want is this. I want to bring heaven on earth, because right at the beginning, I wanted to walk with you. I wanted to make a home with you. I wanted to be close to you. And he says this, okay, Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai, mountains in scripture are a symbol of heaven on earth. A symbol of heaven on earth. Because there's, you know, it's obvious, mountain. Heaven on earth. So what God is doing, he's saying, what I will do is, I'll get Moses up the mountain, and the rest of the Israelites wait. It's almost like an engagement party. And he says, what I will do is, I'm going to meet with Moses, and while the engagement is on, what you don't need to do is not touch the mountain. And then after 3 days, you can come up the mountain when the trumpet sounds and we have this covenant ceremony. And he says to his people, it says in scripture, Exodus 19 and 20, if you want to read it later. It says, do you want this? Do you want this covenant? It's a two-way party. Do you want to have this? And the Israelites all says, yes, we want it. We want all the blessings that you've got for us, so that all the nations will come and see the blessing of God. So this is what's happening. And Moses goes up the mountain, and you have the thunder and the lightning and the earthquakes. And what happens is, the people don't touch the mountain, but they do get scared. So after 3 days, and scripture explains, this is the moment. It's going to be the wedding ceremony. They've got engaged, the rings are on, and suddenly the trumpet sounds. Heaven on earth is here. I'm making a covenant with you. And what do the people do? They run a mile. They run a mile. They say, no, thank you. We're too scared. See, here is the truth of the gospel. It is not God running away from our sin. It is us running away from intimacy. That's the whole story of scripture. And God is saying again and again and again, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. So then the next time Moses goes up the mountain, we get the law and say, okay, instead of that, we'll give you the law. See, this is what Joshua Ryan Butler says, an author. God wants a relationship. We settle for rules. We settle for rules. The law was never the plan. It was plan B. He said, okay, if you don't want to be one with me, heaven on earth, the new kingdom coming, Revelation 21, the new city coming down. That's the end of the story, yeah? It is everything is being made new. That's not a new idea. God wanted that all along. God wanted that all along, wanted to be with his people. And the people said no. So then the law comes, and he says, instead, I will make my home in the tabernacle, in the temple. I will be confined to a box. Now, who knows? We can't confine God to a box. And we know the story. It's not working out. So what is happening is, in Ezekiel, the prophets describe that the Israelites were not faithful with it, were not faithful with God among them. And then the Assyrians came, and the Babylonians came, and they got exiled, and they got even taken away from the presence of God. And then the disaster moment of the history of Israel and Judah, Ichabod, Ichabod, which means God has left the building. God has left the building. And You can go see this intertestamental time, the 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and there is just wilderness, there's quiet, there is nothing being said. And the culmination is when the Israelites, they build a new temple because it's been broken down, and they build a new temple, a second temple Judaism. But the problem is the presence of God is not there. And they become painfully aware of this when, let me see, 63 BC. In 63 BC, before Christ, what happens is Rome invades Jerusalem. And there's this famous military conqueror called Pompey. All heard of him, yeah? Pompey. Julius Caesar killed him, in case that's a free history lesson. And actually what happened is, he saw the temple, they robbed it of all the treasures. And what he did then, he opened the curtain of the holiest of holies, and he walked straight in. This actually happened in history. It's written in history books. He walked straight in. Now, obviously, for the Jews, this was the most holy place there was. And if the presence of God would have been there, he would have been struck dead instantly. But this was the painful awareness, God is not at home with us. He's not at home with us. But here is the hope of the gospel that Isaiah prophesies in a Babylonian time when the important people are all being shipped out. All shipped out of Judah and Israel. And what is the contracting worldview of the Israelites? The promise of God is becoming smaller and smaller in their eyes. And he is prophesying an expanding view, saying, it's not going to stay like this. It's not going to stay like this. And Isaiah says again and again, you are so rebellious. You keep running from intimacy with the Father. You keep running from wanting God. But God says, I will not always stay away. I will come and make a home with you. That's part of the gospel story. He's making a home with us as people, that you can get happy at any point. Because that is what Jesus is saying. So he shows up on the scene, and obviously John the Baptist, he says, repent! Change your truth. Change your mind. That's what repentance is. Change exactly what you think, because the kingdom of God is near. Now, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are synonymous in scripture. One used in Matthew, another in John. It's the same thing. What it means is the kingdom of heaven. What makes heaven heaven? It's the God's presence. That's what makes heaven heaven. It's not the golden streets. They're irrelevant. The reason that the streets are gold is that God is saying, I don't care about gold. I've got so much of it, I make streets out of it. The point is not the gold that makes heaven heaven. It's the presence of God himself. That's what makes heaven. And he is saying, John the Baptist, and later Jesus is saying, repent, change your thinking. The kingdom is now here. I'm making a home with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will make a home with you. You know that Paul says in his letters 160 times that you are in Christ. That you are in Christ. In all kinds of ways. In Ephesians 1 or 2, he says it, I think, about 14 times in one sentence. It's incredible. I can't find it, but it's there. Ephesians 1, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. In Christ is Paul's summary for something Jesus talked about many times. Abide in me, and I in you, and you'll bear much fruit. What's this to do with prophecy? Everything. Because so many people, even in this room, believe the lie. They cannot hear God. They're making it all up. But here's the truth. 160 times plus something. God lives inside of you. He's making a home with you. Something that the Israelites wanted for millennia. It's now true of you. That's the incredible news of the gospel. And that's the start of our friendship with God. That's the foundation of our friendship with God. Not somehow grasping on a truth somewhere in the air. No, right here. Right here. Daddy wants to be close to you. Thank you for those three people that agree with me. I know this is a bit of theology, and I just wanted to explain how important that is before we move on. Because I don't want you prophesying over someone else, trying to grasp some words out of the air. No, it is from your relationship with the Father that you extend to anyone else around you and saying, wow, God lives inside of me and in you. Let me talk to you about your destiny and about your value. You are made in the image of God. He came to rescue you, not because he needed to out of duty of care. He came to you because he wanted you. You know that people in an orphanage, they're being cared for often out of a duty of care by social workers or anything like that. It's called duty of care. It's not love. It can be loving, I'm not saying that. But as a foundation, the whole concept is not love. So if you can imagine, this is the Bible describes you as orphans before you were in Christ. And you are in an orphanage. Just imagine yourself that you're in an orphanage. Your parents have rejected you. There might be people in this room that's been your truth. And you're sitting in this orphanage, in a home. Maybe you're being fostered, whatever that was. You sit there. Knowing that everyone around you somehow has abandoned and rejected you. And then the Father walks into the room. And with hopeful eyes, you look. And he looks around. He looks around. And he locks eyes with you. I'll have you. I'll have you. Not for just today. Not just for tomorrow. But forever. Forever, I'll have you. That's what the gospel is. That's what he did with you. I'll have you. That's what he did. And if we haven't had that revelation yet, that he wants you. It's something he wants to do this weekend. It's something he wants to do today. Because he loves you. And he doesn't only love you, he likes you. And because he looked in your eyes and said, I'll have fun with you. I'll have fun with you. You're adopted forever. And he takes you home. And the first 3 days you think, when is he going to send me back? When is he going to send me back? When is he going to reject me? When is the time that I've sinned? And you think, now it's been enough. Now, when you've been rebellious, now it's been enough. Surely now he rejects me. Surely now he rejects me. And every morning, you're welcome at his table. You're welcome at his table. And he says, how's your day? What's today going to be? And at the end, at dinner, he's going to say, how's your day been, daughter? How's your day been, son? How weird would it be if he was the dad and all of you are at the table? I don't know why I'm doing this American thing. But anyway, but probably because of Steve. All of us are at the table. And he says, well, I called you to be a prophet and I called you to be a prophet, but not all of you are prophets. So I won't ask you how your day was, just the prophets. Let me tell you about my day, says the Father. Let me tell you about the destiny of the world and about this and this person and this person. But I only talk to the prophets. Because, you guys are not gifted for that. That's just not who you are. Maybe you're a pastor or maybe you're good at something else, a business or whatever, or healthcare or whatever. It doesn't matter. But how weird would that be? A dad like that. The dad goes around the table and says, how was your day? How was your day? Hey, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Hey, this is what's happening right now. This is a lie that you believe in, hey? Let's change that. Let's change that. That's not really who you are. You're a daughter now. Every person in this room is welcome at the table of the Father. And all of you can hear his voice because you're his kid. You're his daughter. You're his son. Welcome at the table. So take time and stop and say, Daddy, what have you got to say to me today? I can remember sitting in the park a couple of weeks ago. And I just said, sometimes I've got a park next to my house, and Bedford is beautiful, by the way. And we've got a park, and just the park bit is beautiful, actually. But and there we are. So I sit there, and I see all the football clubs playing on the thing and seeing parents playing with their kids. And you know how weird it is nowadays when a person just sits and does nothing? No earplugs in, not reading, not on my phone, nothing. People just look at you like, what is he doing? What is he doing? I'm just sitting and thinking. That's still allowed, by the way. You know how odd that is nowadays because how awkward you feel not doing anything. But I'm just sitting and I'm just watching. I'm just watching what's happening. I'm just watching all the kids play and people playing football and stuff like that. And I love it. And I just feel Jesus sitting next to me on the bench. Just like I stretched legs like that. Like, good day, isn't it? Good day. It's like, yeah. Now you're here, I say, Jesus. Let me talk to you about this problem and this problem and this problem. He's like, I'm not interested. Not interested. Just want to hang out with you. Just want to hang out. Just want to hang out with you. See, I remember a pastor saying that he prayed this prayer a lot. Jesus, I love your presence. I love your presence. Oh, God, I love your presence. And God said, whew, Mark, I love your presence. Wow, Mark, I love your presence. Wow, Mark, I love your presence. And he was like, wow, didn't expect that. It's the reality of you being friends with God. I no longer call you servants. I call you friends because servants don't know what their master is doing, but friends know the heart of God. And this message of today is, you can be friends with Daddy. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your circumstances, no matter if you're in a lot of pain, if you've gone through a divorce, if you've gone through addiction, if you can't get rid of that habit in your life, if you believe the lie that no one wants to be friends with you, if you just sit at home a lot of the time, if your work is going bad, people blame you for all kinds of things, that does not define you. This defines you. You're a son, a daughter of the King. You getting it? Good. I'm going to tell you one more story, and then we're going to do a little exercise, and Amanda's going to do that, and we call it the exchange tool. And it's just about being friends with... What time is this session to, actually? 12 o'clock, something like that? Oh, we've got loads of time. Great. This is what Bill Johnson says. A servant obtains favor by obedience. A friend by relationship. I had a vision one day. You know, that sounds like clever, doesn't it? It's just a picture, but you know, sometimes you call it visions because you sound more prophetic. That's how we prophetic people do it, by the way. That's just let me in on the secret. We see a picture just like you, but we call it a vision, and then it sounds clever. Anyway, I had a moment with God one day, and it was, I think, in worship, and I was sitting and suddenly I was in a room, and I think it was a room in one of the many rooms that the Father talks about. In my house there are many rooms. Remember that scripture? And I saw one of those rooms, and the room was full of treasure, and the treasure was jewels there and all kinds of things I don't know names for, and it was stunning. It was absolutely stunning, completely beautiful. And I was walking in there, and I was like, wow, this is awesome, this is awesome. Jesus said to me, or the Father said to me, do you want to see the most valuable thing in this room? I was like, yeah, this is awesome. He's like, it's right there in the chest in the middle. It's a big chest in the middle. And I was like, oh, okay. I'll give you permission to open it, says the Father to me. So I walk over to the chest in the middle, and I open it up, and I look in, and I can see a mirror. And I look right back at myself and said, the most valuable thing in this room is you. Don't care about the jewels. Don't care about any of it. What I care about is you. And for me, it's just such a moment of friendship. Such a moment of, wow, the Father values me. I tell you, when we get that revelation more and more here, not just here, when it comes here, we prophesy our heart out. Absolutely, it becomes easy because we just want to extend what we've received. Freely you've received, now freely give. Why would you give anything that you don't have a revelation about? I remember one lady telling a story. She was praying for someone. She was on the ministry team. You know, she was the recognized person. Stands to the person next to her and says, the Father loves you. The Father loves you. Praying for this lady. The Father loves you. The Father loves you. And she stops and she starts crying. The Father loves me! The Father loves me! The Father loves me! The Father loves me! And suddenly she gets a revelation herself, what she's trying to impart on someone else. The Father, forget about you! The Father loves me! The Father loves me! Wow, what a beautiful moment. Can you remember a moment like that in your own life? And can I just encourage you, don't give up on that, because the Father has got something new to say every single day, that you're the bee's knees. You're fantastic. You're so valuable to him. You are more valuable than gold. He doesn't pave the streets with you. You can tell I'm excited. Woo! You know that moment with the woman with the alabaster jar? Oh, I love that story. Love that story. She goes right through every wrong way of doing life. She goes in this house where she's supposed to be behind a wall with a little gap through it so that she can be thrown the bones so she can eat those. And all the important people are sitting around the table with Jesus. And Jesus is saying, you belong at my table. You belong. And she bustles herself through the crowd and pours oil down on her feet, or his feet. And what she does is she takes her hair down. Now, in the Middle East, this is what taking hair down means. It only would happen in one moment, and that would be the marriage night. Because women won't show hair to anyone else in the Middle East. And it will be this sign, I am yours and only yours. So she does this in front of Jesus. She puts her hair down and with oil rubs it on the feet of Jesus. And what she's saying without words, I am yours and only yours. And he is saying, you belong to me. You belong to me. And obviously defends her, takes her shame because everyone blames her. What are you doing, woman? You're not supposed to be here. And he stands up and says, the shame is mine, not hers. He takes her shame and they leave the room smelling the same. They leave the room smelling the same. The anointing of Christ. And Jesus is saying it was worth it. Now she doesn't leave with the smell of shame. She leaves with the smell of Jesus. You know, so many of those stories are coming alive when we know the context, right? And again, God is saying, I am for you, not against you. For you, not against you. Whew. I feel just the Holy Spirit all over this room. Just God is here, guys. I think important moments are going to happen, actually. So, what I would like to do are two things. I just wanted us to do some declarations. And then I'm going to get Amanda to do the exchange tool. And she's going to explain it all. And we're all going to hear God. So, maybe just stand for a moment if you want. And I'm going to read out some declarations and you just repeat after me. Actually, I've changed my mind. Sit down again. Just come in, come now.
But only at the end, please. Just do this now.
Yeah. Great. So, is this on? Have you turned on? Great. Okay. So what we're going to do, I just want to tell you one story. Exchange tool is very, as basic as this. We give something to God and God returns something to us. Yeah, that's part of our friendship with us. You know that scripture says his burden is light. Help me. Yoke is easy, his burden is light. And then it says, give it to me and I'll give you rest or something like that. Come to me. Thank you. Very well. Well done. Say it out loud for me. Yes. You should be preaching, not me. Fantastic. You know that exchange happening? You give the burdens to God and he will give you rest. That's like, you can see right there's an exchange happening. That's part of our journey, that we just give God things, our burdens and our yoke, and then he returns to some, gives us rest and other gifts to us. One story, we did this in our TSM course, and one of the things that happened was one of the guys, he went home after we did this, and his son had, they moved to Bedford about a year, 2 years before that, and his son about, let me see, I don't know how old he was, 6 or 7 years old, I think. He had some really behavioral problems and acting out. And a friend of them said to her, maybe that's because he is angry because you moved and you moved places. And they hadn't considered that. So they decided to do the exchange tour with the kid, with their son, about 6 years or 7 years old. And they say, okay, why don't you give your anger to God? So they sat down and like, and the son gave anger to God. Said, "What is God giving you in return?" And the son said this: "God is making like everything new, like autumn to spring." And then the son saw a pattern of the sun going on the chair, and it was like two hearts that were shaping on the floor. And the son, a very young kid, said, it looks like two hearts together, like our hearts have been torn apart and Jesus has put them back together with his hearts in ours. Wow. This happened after the exchange. So this is basically what happened as the son gave the anger to him. You know how simple the gospel is sometimes. Isn't it beautiful? Anyway, this is Amanda. Amanda, I introduced her yesterday as well, but Amanda is one of the most anointed people I know. She's incredible. And Amanda, one of the first things that I did with Amanda is we went into a room together, and what she does, she prays people through to freedom and does things like sozo and healing prayer and all that kind of things. And what is happening is they had this guy, and he was about 50 to 60 years old. And within 2 minutes, the presence of God in the room was so thick that I just spontaneously burst into tears. And within 2 to 5 minutes, this guy, who's in his 50s and 60s, starts weeping and howling so loud that he is on my lap weeping. He can't stand up because God is doing something so profound, giving him freedom of some trauma that he went through when he was a kid. And that's partly because God was there and partly because Amanda is just incredibly anointed to do that. So one of the things that is common in our environment is that we honor someone just by welcoming them up and by recognizing the gift that is on someone's life so we can participate in what they carry. So can we just welcome Amanda?
Thank you. I'm overwhelmed now. Okay, so this is a tool that I use. So I'm a pastor and I've got like this toolbox, and this is one of my favourite tools that I've got in my toolbox, and it's really powerful. So what I'm going to do, as Mark has said, it's we are going to give God something. Think of it like perhaps something in your rucksack or heavy load in your rucksack, and you're going to hand that to God and he's going to give you something in exchange, and he always gives you something better. He'll always give you something better because that's what he's like. He's so good. So I've got a beautiful assistant. Da-da-da! Steve, who has been really brave. And I'm going to model this tool on him. And he's just going to just be really authentic and real. Thank you, Steve. And then I'm going to lead you through it from the front. And we're just going to see what God does. And often it's just amazing the things he'll talk to you about. So we're going to do that. Okay, so Steve, do you want to sit down? Do you want to, do you want to sit on the stage? Are you all right? Okay, he's there. So he is here if you can't see him. He hasn't run off. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to start off. So Steve, just shut your eyes. Okay, so I just want you, Steve, to sense or feel or see where Jesus is for you now in this room. And then let me know. He's behind you. Okay. I'm just going to ask him to come and stand in front of you. Is that all right? So Jesus, would you just come and just stand in front of Steve? Ooh. Is he there? Yeah? Okay. So I just want you to say after me, Jesus, is there anything I'm carrying that you want me to hand to you? And then just see what he says. Let me know. Shut up, Kiada.